Hello everyone, and we're back with a new episode, and this time I brought you two of my closest friends from Bocconi University. Hi to Edoardo and Pietro.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So let's start directly and let's talk about the application process, and if you could give us any tips on how you did it, how you went in one of the best universities in Europe, and which course do you study, and what they asked you during the process. Edoardo, you can start.
Okay, so hi. We both attend Bocconi University in Milan, and the application was quite simple, let's say, simpler than the US for sure. We had to do a personal statement, a motivational letter, such similar to the UCAS one. And then we had also to fill in some papers in the portal of Bocconi University. And we had to submit the SAT, or we could also take the Bocconi test, but we both decided to submit the SAT. Usually the requirement, at least for our year, was 1300. I don't know if this year, for instance, it increased or not. And yeah, okay. Basically this is it.
Yeah, and if I could ask, what did you write in your motivational letter, specific, like main points, basically? How was the structure? So like, did you say why you wanted to get in Bocconi, or mainly did you talk about the course, or?
Yeah, so I forgot to say that I'm doing BF, which is the Bachelor in Economics and International Bachelor in Economics and Finance.
Okay.
And so okay. In the motivational letter, I basically wrote in the beginning why I was applying to Bocconi, and then in the core, like it's usually done, I wrote why I was a good match and why I liked, in particular, BF, the BF course, mm-hmm. and how I've shown during my course at St. Clair, for instance, my interest in economics and finance. So I also talk about extracurricular activities. And then at the end, I basically restated why I was a good match for Bocconi.
Okay, and as an entrance test, you did the SAT instead of the Bocconi test. Did you do it too, Pietro?
Yes, as I was going to apply for the USA, I was already doing the SAT, and so I decided that as I could decide whether to just give my SAT result or to do the Bocconi test, I thought, and I already did the SAT, so mm-hmm. I might as well just give okay. that. And also, we didn't have to do the subject test.
Okay.
So the subject test. Like for the US, we would have had to do them.
Yeah. And what course do you do?
I'm doing BF as well, same as Eduardo.
Okay. And so you completed this application process by doing the motivation letter, then an SAT. Do you think it's better to do the SAT than the Bocconi test? Depending on, like, for example, for someone that is studying outside of Italy and for someone that is studying inside in Italy, what do you think, which one is better for those students, those different students?
Well, I don't think that there is much difference between the two of them, because okay. they're based on the same thing, so apart in math and apart in English, and in the Bocconi test there also is a part on logic that isn't in the SAT.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that if you want to take an international course in Bocconi, so a course that is in English, if you studied in Italian, you need to submit an English test mm-hmm. to show a certificate to show your English level. And as we did the IB in English and we've studied 2 years in English, we already had that kind of certification. And so that part wasn't actually needed, but if you okay. did study in Italian.
And Eduardo, you said that you think the minimum point, the minimum score you have to get in the SAT is 1300, right? And then
yeah, usually it's like this.
Okay, and then
they give it as an indication. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you?
And
think...
then it depends on the others people's score, obviously.
Okay. Do you think the subjects matter? The subject that you study, either you are in, either if you are in Italy or in outside of Italy, the subject that you study are important for the application in your course. For example, economics, even if you are a student that never studied economics. Do you think? Let me reformulate. Like, because many people maybe feel that. Without studying economics, I know that you study economics because you're my friends, I studied with you in the school, but there are many people that didn't. And maybe, do you think it's important, it's essential to study economics to study in Bocconi?
Not really. It doesn't matter as whether most of the people who go in Bocconi didn't really have economics lessons already. I know quite a few people that are in courses that didn't do anything about economics, but they had the background skills in math. And yeah, basically that's you need to have a good background skills in math.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, good
economics is not essential. Okay.
Yeah, because in economics we start from zero for everyone. So it doesn't matter if you have already done it or not, because also for those who have already done economics, for instance, as Pietro and I, some topics were approached in a different way, and so it wasn't completely the same as the one we did in during the IB.
Okay.
But I agree with Pietro that it's quite essential to have a strong math background.
And you mentioned that you have to upload some documents, Eduardo. Like, which documents? Mainly, the motivational letter. Then I don't know, something.
Then some formal documents with the signatures and all this stuff.
Okay.
That they are all written down in the portal.
Okay. And then finally, to move on from the application process, like, do you have any tips that you could give to a future someone that wants to study in Bocconi? Maybe, you know, like, how did you approach the SAT? Did you practice a lot? Did you have to practice a lot, or mainly? It's mainly about your skills and your present skills. Can you improve in the SAT score?
Well, I would say that you really need to be very good with math, with not really an advanced level of math, but you really need to have also like a mind like quite.
Yeah.
Quick in math, and just exercise will get you where you need to be.
Okay, so now let's talk about the first day. I'm gonna ask this question to Pietro, but Eduard will tell you why. But let's talk about the first day you moved in Milan. How was the integration into the university? How did they approach you? How did you feel? Good.
Well, I have to say that I have a funny story for my first day, because the first week we had a session every day on math, basically on the program that people should be doing in high school, so that to have everybody at the same level and at a level where they can start the course without having any troubles. And the first day that I had to go to the sessions, I looked up on my calendar and I looked at the wrong day. So there was the wrong room. I went to the wrong room, and there was the introduction to a completely different course. And I was too scared of like just standing up and going away. I just stood there, and at one point I remember that they asked all the people, talk to the person next to you, tell them why you chose this course, why you chose Bocconi, Milan. And the person next to me asked me, so why did you choose this course? I was like, well, I'm not really sure what the course is, but I'm happy to be here. And
what did you do?
Apart from that, I just stayed there, and people were just giving the telephone numbers to create their course group with all their the students.
Which course was it?
It was economics and arts and communication. I don't really know the name of the course.
And did they make you, like, did they present any activities that you could do to socialize, given, you know, the difficult situation of the of COVID?
Yeah, so basically there was a first introduction of the course, how Bocconi works, what different activities you can do, what different clubs you can join in Bocconi. And apart from that, then we just started with these mass sessions to gain the skills, or just to revise what we needed to know to properly start the course.
Okay. And Eduardo, do you, like, you came late, can you explain to the listeners why?
Yeah, I was stuck in Bologna for the first month of university, so I completely missed out all the freshman week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to participate to, for instance, the math pre-course and online. Whereas most of the people at that time could still go to university in presence, and I couldn't attend any activity apart the pre-course of math.
How did they treat you? Like, you know, you were in a difficult situation, and how did you get into the university? What did they say to you?
I just tried to email at the beginning the university just to explain my situation. But because in Bocconi, when you have a problem, you have to contact the help and contact by emailing them. And usually it takes 1 to 5 days for the reply.
Okay.
So they are quite slow, but because they have a lot of emails, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So. But I mean, I wasn't in a bad situation, but I just have to watch all the stuff online, while most of the people in that period could manage to socialize, because in that period, let's say, COVID wasn't bad as it became later.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when I arrived in Bocconi, we had the lesson blended, so it means that 1 week that the class, for instance, BF21, which is our class, is split in two classes, odd and even. Mm-hmm. And 1 week the odd go to the university in presence, while the even are online.
Okay.
And each week we were meant to switch, so I managed to go to university just 2 times since September.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. So,
yeah.
Okay. And you live together in Milan, right? How is how is it living in Milan? How did you? Was it difficult to find an apartment, or is there any type of accommodation that university provides? And is it cheap or is it expensive to live in Milan? What can you tell us? So like, how did you find the apartment? Was it difficult?
So for the apartment, I can talk because during the quarantine that we had from April, I start searching for looking for an apartment in Milan because I knew that it wouldn't have been easy. So after a while, I managed to find a quite good deal, talking about price quality. And currently we are in this apartment, which is in Naviglie, so quite close to Bocconi, just 15 minutes by walk, and okay. has also to the Duomo, 15 minutes by walk. Mm-hmm. So it's quite good for students.
And you
and
find
yes, you found I it? Found it in websites. Okay. Like in Italy, we have a lot of websites for renting apartments. Mm-hmm. For instance, we have casa.it, and then we have
we need a sponsor for it. That just you don't have to mention it. So.
Okay. We have a lot of websites.
Okay.
And Bocconi provides students with accommodations. There are a lot of accommodation in Bocconi that range between different prices. So I think that they can be affordable for mostly of the student because they range from quite medium low prices to even quite high prices.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided not to go to an accommodation because I had already been in accommodation for 2 years in England. So I wanted to be independent because in accommodation in Bocconi, you have to still be under some rules because you live in a community. So for instance, after midnight, you cannot invite anyone who is outside, who doesn't live in the accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have other rules, I guess, which I don't specifically know about.
And of course, Italy and Milan, the weather, I assume, it's really good. And what the food is good, of course. What about, you know, the prices in general? Like, I know that due to COVID, we don't go out too much. We didn't go out too much this year. But like, for example, like to the supermarket or in general, how are prices?
Well, the prices in Milan and like, for example, for restaurants are, let's say, quite high. They're not, I mean, they're medium high. There are, of course, different parts of Milan where there are more fancy restaurants with higher prices.
Okay.
And you can find other parts where you can find lower prices. But for example, I come from Verona, and the prices from Verona and Milan, I find that in Milan they're slightly higher.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'd also like to say something about the price, the accommodations in Bocconi.
Yeah, yeah.
That, for example, the price for the accommodations depends also on your income.
Ah. So they give you a subsidy.
But also for the annual fee.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. And the university gives it to you.
Well, basically, you just have to pay. There are certain levels of income, and in those levels, you have to pay a different fee for both the fee and housing.
Okay. And now I want to talk about the social life in Milan with the students. Like, I know that in some cities, the students that meet are mainly from one university, but Milan have many universities. Like, do you hang out with many people from different universities, right?
Well, I have to say that because of COVID.
Yeah, of course.
It was quite difficult to meet people from Bocconi, as we couldn't go so many times to there all together. But so we managed to meet quite a few people, but not
unfortunately
many.
Yeah, okay.
And because of that, it was really difficult to meet people from Bocconi. It was even more difficult to meet people from other universities, as everything was closed, and when restaurants were closed, sometimes we were meeting at someone's house, as that was still something that we could do.
Yeah, okay.
So we weren't really meeting many people outside of Bocconi.
Okay. So that you don't have the full experience of social life in Milan yet, with due to COVID.
Not yet.
And now I want to talk more about the campus and the teaching structure. How is the, like, I know Edoardo already said that he's been 2 times in campus, but like, what did you think of the campus? How are the facilities there? Is it modern? Is it old? What do you think?
They are really modern. There is all the new part of the campus, which has been just built, but it hasn't already been open completely. And they, for instance, they built a new sports center with an Olympic pool, with a really big gym. And so I'm looking forward to trying it.
Yeah.
Then the building with the classes is the one which I've been in. It's quite new, I would say.
Yeah.
I found the seat and the tables quite uncomfortable, because the tables are not really wide, and also the seats are not really comfortable for like, with the perspective of being there for many hours. But I mean, it's just something irrelevant. But generally, the classes are really technological, with one big screen. Then there are some speakers. Then the projector, so they can project all the slides and stuff. Also, the teacher used the microphone to speak, to be better heard from also the people from home. And I would say that I want to say also that all the online teaching that we had since the beginning had been really good managed, and I think there also the platform that we used was quite good, and it was like, in general, also the teaching experience for me, even though hasn't been in presence, has been really good.
And what about the teaching structure, in the sense that how many classes do you have per trimester, for example? What about the exams? Like, can you tell us more about the classes you have? How are they set up? How many hours do you have per week?
Okay, so we are following every semester. It's 4 courses, I think. I think 4 courses, and we have
do you have lectures for it?
We have 21 hours per week, 22 hours per week, and we have this semester we did microeconomics, then we had general mathematics, and then
management.
Okay.
And then we had also, everyone had to do one language, and even though this is one point that is quite strange, but it's like this. So everyone has to do one language, but even though you are from a British school, you have to do English if you don't submit a proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, we had also English, and then we had also critical thinking, that is a pass or not pass exam.
And how is the relationship between teachers and and like professors and students. What do you think about that?
Well, I think they're always available after a session to talk to them, or they have different slots per week where you can go and talk to them. And mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Now it's been different with COVID. So, for example, yeah. That spot every week, it's done online. So you have an online meeting with the professors. Okay. And
so, yeah, person. Despite COVID, you still have some interaction with your teachers.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And now, like, just a quick question, like two quick questions for both. What would you say is the thing that you like the most about Bocconi, and what do you think is the thing that doesn't impress you at all, or like that you don't like even in Bocconi? Pietro, you can start.
Well, it's a difficult question, I have to say.
That, well, if I you think... want, I have. Okay, no, sorry, go.
Yeah,
you can go. Edad, you can think go about first. It.
No, go. I have the thing that impressed me, let's say, that I like more than mm-hmm. impress, which is that everyone is really focused on what he wants to do. So I like the fact that there is a sane and good competition, but at the same time, I found out that even with the guys that we met, but also in general, I have the feeling and the mood that people are want also to enjoy life and the university mm-hmm. life experience, apart from just studying and just focusing on their future. But okay. I really like this mix between the two things. And yes.
And do you have anything that you don't like? If any, you don't have to say one, because maybe there isn't.
Maybe I will think about it for 1 minute. Yeah, maybe okay. I have it. So in the meantime, Pietro. Can tell us what he thinks.
Well, about the people at Bocconi, I have to say that also I really like that you can find different kind of people, and you can really find a group where you can fit. So they're really different types of people with different objectives and different lifestyles. So I think that anybody can find the people with whom you can hang out and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think the part I like the least, or
yeah.
I mean,
okay.
not something I don't like, but something I
yeah you
don't really love.
Okay.
Yeah, it's basically, I'm not sure if it's because of COVID or it's how normal exams are, that and for example with mathematics we had the grades that we got were mm-hmm. Not the same as the results in the exams, but they were curved in a way that there could be like the grades would be more spread out.
Okay.
Like,
now,
normal,
I want to say that what Pietro meant was that I think that they in maths the grade are Gauss, which means that maybe the Bocconi is going to do usually the exam a little bit harder, and then based on what the students score, mm-hmm. The grades are gonna bring down are gonna be brought down or brought up according okay. to the mean.
Ah, okay.
So this is due to the fact that they usually do math exams harder.
Yeah.
But for instance, for other subjects such as microeconomics, management, the Gauss is not applied.
Oh, okay.
Just for math.
But the thing,
until now,
the thing I don't really like about that part is that sometimes it doesn't really get students to work together. Because if more people do good, then the grades are put slightly down. If less people do good, then the grades are put up. So it doesn't really push people to work and study together, but to work kind of against each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the exams, how many exams do you have in a year?
The first year is quite different because this year. Usually you have 4 partial for math. Mm-hmm. This year we had 5. So basically each month we had 1 partial for 1 mathematics partial. And then we had the exam session in October. And then we had another one from the end of the the first semester, which was it the 1st of December.
Okay.
Until the 1st of February. And so these 2 months is an exam, is a exam session.
And what
you can choose to pick the first date of the exam, for instance, or the second one, which is farther away.
And what
we have one exam per course that we're taking. So right now we're taking 4 courses, and those exams we can either have a general exam or split it into partials.
Okay, and what are partials? Can you define it for us? I think people might not know.
Yeah, it's basically so after a few weeks of the program for that course, you have a test, an exam on what you've done so far,
mm-hmm.
instead of having to study and all the program for the course and do one general exam. So it's easier to you have less things in each exam.
Okay.
Yeah, now... but unless for math, it's usually after 3 months. So in the mid of the semester, you have the first partial, and then at the end of the semester, you have the second one. And usually, in all the economics university in Italy, is like this. Also, my friends in Bologna, for instance, they have partials. So it's like more, mm-hmm. maybe it's more an Italian way of doing exams.
Okay. And now let's move on to the weird part of the episode, which is you rating out of 10 different aspects of your university. For example, how would you rate the campus from 1 to 10, despite the small experience you have with it due to COVID?
I think I would give it a 9, because
I would give 8.5.
Ah, okay. 9, and then we ask Eduardo why. 9, why,
Pedro? I think it's like really great and modern. The only thing is, sometimes it, like at the beginning, it was a bit hard to find where I had to go.
Okay.
But you get used to it.
Okay. And Eduardo, why 8.5?
Because I'm waiting for the new part, for the all the new part that they have just built. So until now, for me, it's 8.5, because for instance, the gym that they have now, it's quite bad. So the 1.5, maybe will come with the new buildings.
The vote will raise as time passes. Okay.
And yeah, what of, maybe yes.
I cannot ask you about the social life, but if I may, you know, if you can give a vote out of 10 for the social life, like if considered COVID, can you give us a vote, or is it difficult?
For me, considering COVID, would be 8.59 still.
Okay. And Pietro?
I think I would stay with an 8.5. Okay. I agree.
Well, nice. Okay. And and what about the teachers, the professors? If you can say something.
Yeah.
Then.
For me, until now, we met 3 teachers, so 3 professors. I would give to them in general 8.5. Always.
Okay. Pietro?
I think I would give an 8.5, 9.
Okay. Now I want to ask you, because I'm interested also, I think Bocconi is known for the workload there is to study, how much you work for. So I want to know, maybe not to be repetitive, we can ask only one of you. What's your day like? What's one of your typical days? How is your day as a Bocconi student? Pietro.
I think that we have pretty different days. Also, like, we approach maybe the studying sessions differently.
Oh, okay.
So, like, for me, with the online set, with the online teaching, was basically waking up at 8, having the lesson starting from 8:30 usually.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually they start in the morning, but sometimes if you're lucky they start in the afternoon, and they may go up until 8 p.m. sometimes. Mm-hmm. This semester we didn't have any until 8, but usually it is possible. So then you attend all the lessons, and then when you finish, if you don't have an exam that is approaching, usually I was studying maximum 2 hours per day. If okay. I didn't have, let's say, usually 2 hours per day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we have exams, you increase the amount of studying, and it depends on you, but and it depends also on how many exams you have to prepare and how difficult they are. So I would say that you can range from basically 2 hours every day, usually, let's say, if you don't have exams approaching, up to also, 10. I've never done 10 hours, but I've mm-hmm. heard a lot of people who have done 10 hours per day.
Wow.
I would say for me, maximum was 6 hours per day,
okay,
spread during the day.
Included,
if we don't have lesson.
Included also the lessons, or just study work?
No, just studying. So I was talking about just studying, personal mm-hmm. study. Then, so 6 hours usually is possible when you don't have less.
Yeah, okay. Pietro, do you want to say your day?
Oh, well, it's not really much different from Eduardo's. I would just like to add that both of us, for example, go to the gym, and we just try to squeeze it in whenever we can. So for example, until now we had on Mondays that we started at 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, we were going to the gym in the morning sometimes. And so it really all depends when we have these lessons.
Okay.
And we can manage to...
Yeah. You have to learn to be organized mm-hmm. with your study, with the lesson, and because if you want to do extracurricular activities such as, sport or being part of associations, because we didn't say that, but in Bocconi there are plenty of associations for
yeah.
every kind of interest. So, yeah.
And you can build your own association, right? If
I think that it's possible to set up your own association, but there are so many that everything is already done by someone else.
Okay.
So yeah. There is not the need to do it.
Perfect. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for helping us understand how a Bocconi student lives and what's it like to be a Bocconi student. Thank you very much, and see you next episode. Thank you.